It's 2020. You're the most senior person on your team, in charge of code quality and architecture. You've set up good engineering practices. You thoroughly review pull requests from people who are less experienced than you and work hard to maintain a healthy code base. Then, at some point, you go on holiday. When you come back, the code base is a mess. Everyone merged each other's pull requests without really paying much attention. Someone added a bunch of new tables to the database to denormalize it because it was easier, and they added serverless or Kafka to the stack without any solid evidence that they needed either. It's okay. You can fix this. Fast forward to 2026. You haven't been on holiday. It's just a normal Monday morning. You make yourself a nice coffee, open your computer, and find yourself with 7 pull requests to review. You open the first one. Plus 24,506, minus 3,938 lines, accompanied by some artificial intelligence-generated description of what they're supposed to do. Somehow, your team has made more changes since Friday than they used to make while you were away for a few weeks. Artificial intelligence removed the speed limit. Artificial intelligence makes projects with weak engineering culture fail much faster. There used to be a time when people sat down and talked about how they do something. Now they can just prompt an agent for a few hours and open a pull request. The most tragic aspect of this way of working is that, to the untrained eye, it works. If you pull the branch and test it, you'll probably get something somewhat functional. So what do? They keep going, again and again, until the project reaches a point where no one knows how anything works. Just like someone buying a new luxury car on a credit card, you don't see the debt, you just see the car that looks great. But then users start to report a weird bug. It's the fourth time your team has been trying to fix it. I mean, asking artificial intelligence to fix it. Unfortunately, it seems like not even Fable can figure it out. You go talk to the person who worked on this feature. So, where does the data come from? Actually, I don't know. Let me ask Claude. You sit next to each other, watching an endless wall of text appear on the screen. Neither of you has any idea whether any of it is true, but Claude seems very confident. Let's just turn on UltraCode and ask it to double-check. This one will take a while. You start talking about the latest drama on X. You finally get an answer back. Does this make any sense to you? I'm not sure. Didn't you build this, like, last week? Silence. This project has become so convoluted, with so many layers and services, that no one on your team could possibly start to understand what's going on. So, what do? Fixing it would require such a colossal amount of work that it would be impossible to even start justifying it to anyone in management. And what are you even thinking about? It would end up in the exact same state again in just a few months anyway. Let's just ask Claude to fix it. Okay, I'll create a loop and goal so it doesn't stop until it's checked that everything works. Sounds good. Actually, I ran out of Fable usage for today, so I'll run it tomorrow. You grab another coffee and walk back to your computer. You now have 13 pull requests left to review. You see something you don't quite understand, so you message the person who wrote it. Why are we doing this here? They send you a link. It's a Claude conversation. Somewhere in that conversation, buried between Claude confidently recommending one architecture, apologizing, changing its mind, your coworker asking it to recording again, and another 15 rounds of changes, is apparently the design decision behind this code. Which part should I read? Probably all of it. Does this sound familiar? Whenever I talk about this, Someone eventually tells me that nobody ever fully understood large systems anyway. It's true. You were never expected to understand every service and every database. But at least someone did and would explain it to you. Now they ask a large language model because they don't actually know themselves. You can't afford bad engineers anymore. In every team, there are competent people who make the project possible. There are also people who essentially make it harder for everyone else. And now anyone can produce more code in a day than they used to in a year. In the story above, everyone is failing. The engineer opening a 25,000-line pull request should have stopped the agent long before it got there. They should have understood what it was doing, broken the work into smaller pieces, and questioned every new abstraction it introduced. The person reviewing it should have refused to review something that large instead of giving in. The person adding Kafka should have been able to explain exactly why it was needed. The person who built the feature should have been able to explain where the data came from without sending a link to a Claude conversation. But what's the problem then? Just use artificial intelligence to fix it. Well, it's not that easy. Before anyone jumps on this, none of this means technical debt is always bad. The important part is that you know it's a shortcut. Anyway, reverting a bad decision is hard. Very hard. For example, how long would it take a large language model to add a bunch of tables and columns to the database? 10 minutes? But once you start storing data there, you can't just remove them. You have to come up with a migration plan. Make sure you don't disrupt the system because people are paying to use this every day. You have to think about what you'll do if the migration fails. Make sure you don't end up with orphaned foreign keys. It's just so much harder to fix, even with the best model you can get. And while you're fixing it, more pull requests keep coming in. More code, more abstractions, more decisions. A person can generate 20,000 lines of code in an afternoon. But you still have to sit there and understand what those lines actually do. By the time you've untangled one bad decision, 5 more have been merged. The new artificial intelligence economy. Of course, bad engineers were always a liability. It has been like this for decades, well before OpenAI or Anthropic existed. Bad decisions compounded. Unnecessary complexity accumulated, and teams ended up maintaining systems nobody really understood. The difference is that there used to be a limit to how fast you could do it. Today, implementation is cheap. You are paid to make good decisions, to build software that will scale while managing complexity. Ask yourself why companies are paying 6-figure salaries for engineers in London or San Francisco in the first place. If all they needed was someone who could turn a specification into working code, why were they paying that much when they could already get it done cheaply elsewhere? Why are the tech companies claiming that software is solved, still paying top salaries to attract the best people they can? My bet is that artificial intelligence pushes salaries further apart. To be employable, there's a bar you have to clear, and that bar is whatever the current best model du jour can do. Good engineers have become more valuable because artificial intelligence lets them move much faster. They don't need as many people around them just to do the implementation work anymore. At the same time, bad engineers have become much more expensive to hire. I wrote about this before when I said the vibe coder career path is doomed. You need to contribute beyond what everyone already gets by giving an agent a prompt. If you lack the judgment required to evaluate the large language model's recommendation, asking for more judgment doesn't solve the problem. At some point, someone still has to know what is going on. And that's the most valuable person on the team. The people who don't will become much cheaper to hire or get replaced entirely while the money gets funneled towards an increasingly smaller number of people who can actually be trusted. I don't think this is going to be limited to software engineering either. I believe the same thing is going to happen across most knowledge work. Artificial intelligence will make the best people much more productive, and the bad ones almost impossible to hire. Before, there was a good chance someone would catch their bad decisions before they went too far. Now they can make changes faster than anyone around them can realistically review or understand them. Answers to the most common objections. Bad engineers always existed. The difference is the speed. It is the difference between crashing at 30 km per hour and crashing at 200 km per hour. Before artificial intelligence, a bad engineer would struggle to produce code that even compiled. When they did produce something, it took them a long time and the blast radius was limited. The damage was bounded by how fast a human could type. Now, a bad engineer can produce 10,000 lines of working code before lunch. The damage we can do in an afternoon used to take them months. The speed at which bad decisions compound has changed completely, while the speed at which you can fix them has not.